Welcome back to this teaching on the Tree of Life. Today is part 1B. We have a part B because we never finished the outline last time. We did sections A and B, and today we do section C, the Tree of Life. Next Sunday we will do part 2, separate new outline. So, a quick review. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." So the question that came to my mind, I suppose came to the mind of every person who's read it, who are these who are not going to die? It's very similar to a question that says, who's going to be raptured and who's not going to be raptured? And actually, the answer is the same. Same answer. The ones who are not going to die, referenced in the scripture, are also the ones who are going to be raptured. Now, who will that group be? If you think of the travels of the Israelites from Egypt to the Promised Land, a two-week trip, I forgot, took 40 years. Because 10 times they said that God brought them out into the wilderness to die. Despite all the tremendous miracles they saw, they kept saying, God has brought us here to die. And after the 10th time, God says, okay, they will have what they say, they'll die off in the wilderness. Now, I wonder what you and I have been saying with our words in terms of living and not dying versus dying and not living. Most people, you tell them, I'm not going to die, they look at you as if you're crazy. Perhaps most of you, or all of you, when you first came to ABC and heard that, you thought that we were, you know, Fruit Loops. So Benjamin Franklin, as great as he was, he said two statements which are very well known. Nothing is certain but taxes and death. And he was wrong on both of them. Incorrect on both. So who gets to live and who gets to die? Well, as with everything else with God, it's a partnership. And actually, you decide if you live or you die. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, choose life or death. That's a choice every person has. And we've been choosing life or death ever since we were born. Ever since we grew to the age of reason, I guess. Started making decisions. Choose life means you choose blessings. Choose death means you choose curses. How do we get blessings? We get blessings when we are obedient to the word of God. And we get curses when we are not obedient to the word of God. It's obedience versus sin. And so when somebody dies, it's not, whoa, they were living a very healthy, wonderful life, and suddenly something happens and they're gone. No, they were where they were. What happened to them is a result of the years of their lives choosing death versus life. Every decision we make is a choice of life or death. Because every decision we make is a choice of blessing or cursing. We all know that here at ABC we're teaching that God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God or the Word of God in every single one of the 25,000, approximately 25,000 decisions you make a day. And the reason is very simple. If the decisions are not made by the Word of God or by the Spirit of God, they're really influenced and made by the devil. That's why Romans 14:23 says, anything that's not of faith is a sin. It is of faith if it is by the Word and by the Spirit. If it's not by the Word and by the Spirit, then it's not of faith. If it's not of faith, it's a sin. If it's not of faith, then you're disobeying God somehow. If it's not of faith, then you're not under grace. If you're not under grace, then you're under the law. And if you're under the law, we know we break the law all the time. So, we have a choice. Choose life or choose death. The wonderful news is that it starts with your heart. Starts in your heart. You make a choice in your heart. I want to live. I want to live God's way. I want to be obedient to His Word. I want to be led by His Spirit. And I repent of every sin I've made in my life. I repent of every decision I've made in my life that was not a decision for God. That's the kind of prayer you want to make. In fact, if you'd like, I'll lead you in a very short prayer to say that. And if you'd like, you may join me. Start off by doing a USP. If you're new, USP means that it's this. Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, please cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. So unknown sin prayer. Now, if you know of some sins that you have not confessed, by all means, this is a great time to do it. Because if you walk and live with unconfessed sins, then you're not under grace. God has difficulty helping you. Frankly, much of the time it's impossible for Him to help you. And the devil has an open door to attack you. So why would we not want to walk under grace? Why would we not want to walk in faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we were created for His pleasure. So let's all endeavor to walk in faith. At least in our heart, make the commitment. Lord, so let me lead you in that prayer. Lord, my sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I desire to live for You. I desire to stop sinning, known sins and unknown sins. Lord, in my heart, I commit to being alive and remaining when Jesus returns. I want to live and not die. So I choose to die to sin, to die to pride, to die to myself. For Jesus said, if you lose your life, you will find it. Right now I choose to lose my life, to live for Christ Jesus. I declare, I was buried by baptism into the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as the glory of the Father raised Jesus from the dead, just so the glory of the Father raised me into newness of life, into that life of partaking of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. For I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, Christ Jesus, lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I shall live. I shall not die. I shall be alive and remain when Jesus returns. And I will be of that group of whom it's written, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. And my change just started right now with this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, one of the big misconceptions in the body of Christ today is that they equate being saved with salvation or redemption. Whereas the point of fact is being saved is the first step in salvation. It's the first step towards redemption. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, we are new creations. All things have passed away. Well, we know our spirit has changed. The old spirit man died. We have a new spirit. We are born again in the spirit. We also know that everything beyond the spirit, the heart, the soul, the mind, the body, and the works, should change and become new. That's the process of regeneration. That's the process of us moving from where we used to be to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Being conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the process of our heart, soul, mind, body, including brain. Everything changes to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Another way of saying that is that we choose to be washed by the water of the Word. Another way of saying that is we choose to make all the decisions by the Word of God or by the Spirit of God. We are washed by the water of the Word to become a church without spot or wrinkle, a holy church without blemish. A holy church without blemish. That is determined to live without sin, trying to live without sin, believing that they do the best they can and God does the rest, so that we are changed. And we are alive and remain, we are changed. We are caught up with Jesus at the rapture, given fully glorified bodies, and put on immortality. That's who we are. That's what God wants us to be. As you all know, science teaches that man, all the cells in our bodies are replaced every 7 years, except they're saying maybe not all the brain cells, but they'll catch up on that also. All the cells were designed to be replaced every 7 years. God never intended us to die. From the very beginning, Adam had a choice not to die. In fact, he had to specifically choose death. He had to specifically choose to be disobedient and eat the fruit. The only way he could possibly die, the only way he could possibly die was to break the one thing he shouldn't do. He could do anything else and he wouldn't have died. He chose to do the one thing that would cause him to die. Wow. What a humdinger of a mistake. But you know, we do the same thing day in and day out. We choose death every day. But no more. From now on, we are choosing life. We are choosing Jesus and to live for Jesus. Now, the reason why last time I spent so much time on the concept of paradise was to impart onto the people who hear this teaching that salvation is not simply being born again, and showing you the process. In the beginning, paradise was in the Garden of Eden, or was the Garden of Eden, appears to be, was the correct word. Paradise was the Garden of Eden. Then after Adam sinned, he was put out of the garden and started having kids. Now some of those kids, these are all Gentiles because this is long before Abraham. Some of these were very good people. Enoch got raptured. Eventually Elijah got raptured after a long time later. And there were people who maybe were not quite as good as they were. And those who were trying to live by faith but didn't quite make the level of Enoch or Elijah would die. And there was a place for them called paradise. Paradise has always been a holding area. The holding area went from the Garden of Eden into the underworld. And after Abraham started the Jewish nation, family, Jewish people, the people of God, some of them were very, very good. As we mentioned, Elijah got raptured. Others didn't quite make it. So they went to Abraham's bosom. So Abraham's bosom, which Jesus talked about very clearly, was a holding place for Jewish, let's call them sheep, for a better name. Okay? The also-rans who didn't quite make it, but they certainly did not live for Satan. Sheep is a good name for them, or sheep plus. So we had two in the underworld. We had Abraham's bosom and we have paradise. When Jesus died and went down and preached to the captain, they were both emptied. There was no longer any need for Abraham's bosom, because from then on, anybody who died would quite ready, would go into paradise. So Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "This day you shall be with me in paradise," that day, and then was emptied out. So from then on, Abraham's bosom, as best as we can, just disappeared. Because from then on, it's not about Abraham and his family, it's about Jesus, the Messiah. So paradise went up to the third heaven, and Paul talks about it in the third heaven. It's a holding place still, it's always a holding place. So who are in this holding place in the third heaven? And the answer is the dead in Jesus. The dead in Christ, the martyrs, have gone on into formal heaven, whatever that means. Not the holding area, they're formally in heaven. Moses would be there. All the dead in Christ and the great men and women are all in the heaven. But the holding area called paradise are those who died in Jesus. They lived a life, they believed in Jesus, but they never lived in the lordship of Jesus. They lived in the salvation of Jesus, not in accepting Jesus as Lord, and if he says jump, you jump. Living by the word and by the spirit. Those are trying to live in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1 puts it this way. Romans 8 verse 1 puts it this way. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. They're not in death row waiting to die. They've not been condemned to die. All mankind was condemned to die when Adam sinned. And we were all condemned to die until we became born again. And once we became born again, then if you never sinned, you'd be home free. But you know we all sinned. So of those who all sinned, some are still condemned to die and some are not. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Not in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. If they're walking in Jesus Christ, they've accepted the salvation of Jesus, but not the resurrection power of being able to live and be immortal. So all those who are walking in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not in Christ as their Lord, they're still condemned to die, and they will still die, and they live as those who are living in Jesus, and they die as those who are dead in Jesus. But those who are living, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. They can still die. Here's the key. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So even though you're in Christ Jesus, even though you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, even though you've gone through all five baptisms, you can still die if you're focused on the flesh. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What sets you free from the law of sin and death? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Not in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What you're the Spirit. You're dead but living for Christ. You've died to self. No, you want to live by the Word and by the Spirit of God. You're being led by the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. You're living in Christ Jesus. He's your Lord. You want to be able to say that no matter what somebody says, why are you doing that? Because God said I should do it. That's it. That should be the answer. Or what would Jesus do? But you know, Jesus, we're encountering a lot of things that Jesus didn't encounter. Or if it is, it wasn't written. Some of the things couldn't have been encountered by Jesus because we can only encounter them after he went to heaven. So the answer really is because God wants me to do it, or the Holy Spirit wants me to do it. That's it. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You make that choice. You make your Deuteronomy 30:19 choice and make the choice. I want to live in Christ Jesus. I want to live by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Put it another way. You die to self and live for Jesus. Jesus said repeatedly, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And you get to make the choice. You get to make the choice. Jesus says, if you lose your life, you will find it. So we want to find our life of being among the group who shall not die, who shall be alive and remain. So, having been brought up in science, been a student of science much of my life, I have degrees in physics and psychology. On the scientific side, I was a senior chemist. I do not have a degree in chemistry, but I was a senior chemist as part of my profession. So my background is heavily geared to science and to logic because of my computer background and my love for philosophy. Simple point is, because of my background in science, I've learned how to test things. If you want to know what a material or something, or a computer program or anything, what is it like? Is it working? Does it have quality? You always at least do three tests. At the beginning, the end, and the middle. At the weak point, the strongest point, and someplace in the middle. So, if we look at the Bible from that perspective, we see that in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, there was no death, and man was not expected to die. If you look at the end, in New Jerusalem, you see there's no death, and man is immortal. Not expected to die. And if you look at today, you say, well, what is it like today in the middle? And God makes it very clear. He says, I tell you a mystery, you shall not all die. He says, pray that my will be done on earth as in heaven. His will in heaven is nobody dies in heaven. No sickness, no disease, nobody dies in heaven. That's what he wants here. That's what he wants here. But nobody dies. But in the beginning, we see there was a tree of life. And at the end, we see there's a tree of life. So let me tie the tree of life back into this. Remember, we said after Jesus died, paradise went up to heaven. It's a holding place for the dead in Jesus. And eventually, when the dead in Jesus come back with God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 says, the dead in Jesus, God will bring with him when he comes. God comes back with New Jerusalem in chapter 21, new heaven, new earth. New Jerusalem comes down to earth, God comes to live on earth. At that point in time, paradise comes to be in New Jerusalem. And all those who've been waiting, the dead in Jesus, and other category would be sheep. The sheep from the story of the sheep and the goats. The judgment seat of Christ when he judges all the people remaining on earth, which are the unbelievers. The sheep go on into the 1,000-year reign, but some of them will die. The sheep who died will end up in, they failed to make the overcomer status, but they'd end up in paradise also. So at the end of the 1,000-year, paradise comes down and goes into a new Jerusalem. The dead in Jesus come back to earth, but remember, Jesus says, those of the resurrection won't have kids. So the dead in Jesus coming back to earth won't have kids. all the kids from then on to replenish the earth, because if you recall, the entire point of all this is to replenish the earth. Adam didn't do his job, so this is God's plan to get the job done. So the earth is going to be replenished by two types of people. Two types of people being the sheep who go through, the sheep and the descendants who go through the 1,000 year reign and make it into the new earth and the new heaven and New Jerusalem. Well, only a few will make it into New Jerusalem. Just like after the Israelites walked through the wilderness for all that time, only two made it into the promised land. So you wonder how many are actually going to be raptured. But those who are raptured and the descendants of those who live through the 1,000-year reign, those are the ones who will have children and replenish the earth. So paradise remains up in heaven until Revelation 21, when God comes to earth along with the dead and Jesus. And the children will be produced by the sheep going through the 1,000-year and by the overcomers who are raptured. Overcomers who are raptured have not taken part in the resurrection. They're just living. See, I've always wondered, how could it be that a man who is not born again has a record for being the oldest person on earth? Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. He wasn't even born again. God wasn't living inside him. The record should belong to somebody who has God living inside him. Should have been Adam's record. He gave it up. But now, those who aspire to be in the glorious church, those who aspire not to die and to live, you make it to the rapture, Pastor Methuselah will be a piece of cake. The challenge is to make it to the rapture. To make it to the rapture, you have to get through the years from now to the rapture, which isn't that long. So, now today, what kind of help did God give us? Well, God is no respecter of persons. If it's available for one, Adam, it's got to be available for those in New Jerusalem. It's got to be available for us here. So we see the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. We see the tree of life in paradise in New Jerusalem. What do we have here today? The tree of life. That's the reason we're having this teaching. The tree of life. So, C, 1 and 2 we just covered. Well, let's look at C2. New Jerusalem, Revelation 2:7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcomers get to eat of that tree, the tree of life. Okay. So, now what about pre-Jesus and post-Jesus? Pre-Jesus being before the age of grace, post-Jesus being after the age of grace. So before the age of grace, they must have needed a tree of life, and surely after the age of grace. Well, look at the Word of God. Proverbs 4:22. The word of God is life unto those that find them and medicine to their flesh. There's a tree of life there. That's what the tree of life does. Produces healing and life. Tree of life. The leaves of the tree of life in New Jerusalem will be used for the healing of the believing nations. The believing nations will be generated, as I mentioned before, by the descendants of the sheep who went through the 1,000-year reign, and by the descendants of the overcomers. Tongue, Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So what if your tongue isn't so wholesome? It produces perverseness, iniquity, rebellion, sinful things, and it's a breach to the Spirit. So, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That's what Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, choose life or choose death. You get to choose it. Proverbs 18:21. death and life and the power of the tongue. Wow. Has to be. The Bible is perfectly logical. Perfectly logical. That's why I love it so much. It's perfectly logical. Because I love logic. Perfectly logical. Since your tongue is a tree of life, then death and life must be the power of your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You love life and you speak life, you'll eat the fruit of that. You love sin and death and disobedience, you'll eat the fruit of that. Your choice. My choice. Fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. If you have this fear of the Lord, this respect for the Lord, even downright fear of the Lord, it will prevent you from sinning. It will keep you from sinning. God loves you. And we can come boldly unto the throne of grace for mercy and grace in time of need. But He is God. He deserves all our respect 24 hours a day. And all our reverence and our worship. He deserves us choosing to die to self and to die to sin to live for Him. He should be the goal of your life. What is the goal of your life right now? The last couple of years. What's the goal of your life? Is one of those goals drawing closer to God? Living for God? Respecting, worshiping God? Getting to know Him better? Beholding His face? Living in His grace? Pleasing to Him? Bringing people to Jesus? Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. The eye of the Lord is watching, is upon them that fear Him. To deliver their soul from death, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Now, does that sound like an end time kind of promise? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon those that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive from famine. Righteousness, Proverbs 12:26. In the way of righteousness is life. In the way of righteousness is life. This is probably the real key. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness, you are, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus shed His blood, died and was resurrected, so He could give you His righteousness. That righteousness starts in your spirit. It's up to you and me to take the righteousness in our spirit and work it out into our bodies. Work it into our bodies as holiness. We work the righteousness from our spirit into our heart. So in our heart, we don't want anything but Christ, love, and the Word of God. And once we do that, then the heart and the tongue will lead the rest of you into righteousness. So, Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and the pathway thereof is no death. In the way of righteousness, there's no sin, there's no curses. There's no sin, no curses, there's no death. It's perfectly logical. It's all there in the Bible laid out. We just haven't taken it seriously. Because for one thing, we don't really want to die to self. We have our goals, our plans, our ambitions, and they're ours, and we want to do them. God gave you all this talent, and you want to use it. All the degrees I just mentioned, I don't use any of them. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Tree of life. We've always had the tree of life. It's all coming from you. What you do, it was there. That's why Enoch walked with God and God took him. That's why Elijah could get raptured, go up with chariots of fire. That's why the 144,000 got to go up. And that's what we have to do to be alive and be raptured. You're not going to be raptured because you're under the age of grace. That's a misconception the church has. We're under the age of grace, so we're going to be raptured. Well, the age of grace ends before the rapture. You're not under the age of grace, even if it's pre-tribulation, which is not. The rapture is post-tribulation. But even if it's pre-tribulation, it's not until after the age of grace. So the age of grace, this time, is a time for you to commit to living under the rod of iron. God's word has always been a rod of iron. How could God's word not be a rod of iron? It says, I am the Lord your God, I change not. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So how can his word pass away and not pass away if here it's a rod of iron and there it's not? His word has been a rod of iron from the day he said to Adam, on the day you eat that fruit, you will die. And the spirit man died. That's it. What happened to the body is not that important. It's what happens to the spirit. So right now, his word is the rod of iron. But because Jesus took your sins, you have an opportunity to bounce back every time you sin. And you can bounce back every time you sin right through the age of grace until after the age of grace ends. Then there's no bouncing back. You're leaving behind the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And you're going on to perfection. And you're either going to walk in that perfection of being led by the Word in you, or you're going to die. Because the wages of sin is death. The scripture says, if after you meet these five conditions in Hebrews 6:1, verse 7, and you sin willfully, there's no hope for you. There's no turning back. You will die. And if the sin you choose to commit is worship the beast and take his mark, not only will you die physically, you will die spiritually and spend eternity in the lake of fire. There's no more blood of Jesus to save you. If after the age of grace ends, you choose to willfully sin, you are treading underfoot the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, and you will die. So what is the age of grace? It's an opportunity. It's the gymnasium where you're training over and over to get that routine perfect. So that when they go to the Olympics, it's perfect. When they get to the Olympics, training is over. When you get to the end of the age of grace, training is over. Now here, when you're training and you miss, you repent of your sin, you confess it, you get back under grace, and you go again. That's what the age of grace is all about. Preparing for the greatest Olympics in life. To be caught up. One big jump, and we're caught up with him. That's it. So, people don't understand and they unintentionally abuse the concept of grace. And they think, it doesn't make any difference if you sin, because if you die, to be absent of the body is to be the Lord. True statement. You die under the age of grace. Under the age of grace. To be absent of the body is to be the Lord. You would be well, it depends on how you die. If you just die like a regular person dies, then you'll be dead in Jesus. If you die fighting on the Word of God, to stay on the Word of God, and you just didn't quite make it, you could be dead in Christ. And if you're martyred, then you are definitely dead in Christ. World of a difference. The martyrs and the dead in Christ will be with Jesus forever. The dead in Jesus says to be absent from the body is to be the Lord. Think of the words. To be absent from the body is to be the Lord. The person dies, they're absent from the body. The body goes in the ground, they go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be the Lord. So they die, they go in the ground or cremated or whatever you do. The spirit goes to be with the Lord in the holding area if you're not dying in Christ. If you're a martyr, if you died in Christ, standing in the Word, then you go up into heaven. But if you die in Jesus, then you go into the holding area of paradise. In 1,000 years, you come back. And when you come back, you're reunited with your body. So you're no longer absent from the body. So what happens to you when you're reunited with the body? The Bible tells you in a number of places. You are responsible for and you're judged for what you do in your body. So that decision they'll have to make in 1,000 years. In 1,000 years, they'll have to do without grace what we're trying to do now for a short time, in my opinion, 4 years, with grace. Well, with grace until the age of grace comes to an end. Which would you rather do? Try to be perfect for 4 years, where part of it is under grace, getting the greatest reward, the greatest medal in the world, fully glorified body and immortality? Or would you rather come back in 1,000 years and start from scratch, trying to become an overcomer on your own, without grace, without the blood of Jesus? Of course, also without the tempter. There's no tempter. So that's a big point. There's no devil trying to tempt you. But you're walking a place where if you sin, that's it. Lake of fire. Now, it seems to me that all the dead in Jesus, having spent 1,000 years up there in heaven, I can't imagine any of them so foolish as to come back to earth and just to be a god. I mean, that would be like Satan walking over the heaven. I can't imagine how anybody could spend 1,000 years in heaven, albeit in paradise within heaven. Paradise is in heaven now. And still come back after all that and choose to sin. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's going to be so unlikely. But nevertheless, they got to walk to a straight line, and they have to eventually become an overcomer. They have to eventually walk in the same faith that God wants you and me to walk in now, between now and his return, so we can qualify to be among those who shall not die, but we shall all be changed. Start the change now. That's my advice. Start the change now. No, if those weren't enough trees of life, here's two more. Wisdom. Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom is a tree of life. That's why we say, study the Bible, memorize some scriptures, but most of all, live it. Study the Bible and live it. Make your decision by the Word of God, because that's wisdom. Make it by the leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's wisdom. And wisdom is a tree of life. Humility. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I check myself against this so frequently, because I can't say that I'm walking in riches, honor, and life. I have a little bit of all three. A lot of people would say a lot of all three. Well, let's look at Jesus. We look at pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. What does Jesus have for us? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Notice, not Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. Wow. If you are living in Christ Jesus, you got your wisdom right there. Because Jesus is your wisdom. And righteousness. Wow, there's another biggie. Sanctification. No sinning. And redemption, that's the goal. Redemption, Revelation 21:7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. and I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the fullness of salvation. That is redemption. Okay? That's all in Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am showing you the way of Jesus. So you don't have to die. So you can be an overcomer. So you can be among the ones that God has chosen to help repopulate the earth. And to live with him forever as pillars in the temple of God. That you can look at the two who made it through the wilderness trek from Egypt into the promised land. And said, two made it there, Joshua and Caleb. And I'm going to be one of those who make it into the rapture. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we want, the life. You have Jesus, you have the life. You have Jesus living in you, you have life living in you. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. If a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. You see how logical this is? If wisdom is a tree of life, and if Jesus is wisdom, then when you do what he says, you can't die. Because if you have wisdom, you don't die. Therefore, if you're doing what Jesus said, you can't die. It must be true. If it's not true, there's a logic flaw in the Bible. It's got to be true. Let me read it again. The logic in the Bible just amazes me. No matter how you test it, across the millennia, across decades, front to back, from shepherds to kings, it always passes the logic test. It's impossible for this to have been done by human beings. Only God can do this. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. Of course not, because he's wisdom and he's righteousness. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. If he's the resurrection and the life, and he's living in you, then if you're dead, you should live. And if you're not dead, you shouldn't die. Because he's the tree of life. What does it say? Look at that. That's exactly what it says. He that believes in me, though he are dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Lives and believes in me does not mean live and I read the Bible in my head and I know it's true. No, no, no. You don't know it until it's in your heart. There's a lot of stuff in your head that comes from the devil. There's a lot of stuff in your head you have not made your own. What you make your own is in your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When you make it in your heart, when you believe in Jesus in your heart, then you'll do what he says, which, among other things, is be led by the Holy Spirit or the Word. So when you believe in Jesus in your heart, when your heart is full of Jesus, all you want to do is serve him. You know who did this wonderfully well? This part of it are missionaries. They've given up their life and everything they know to go teach people about Jesus and about getting saved. That's what's in their heart. The gospel of salvation, getting them saved. But I'm teaching a lot more than getting saved. My calling is to help perfect the body of Christ. Because we're not perfected yet. And the fivefold office is to perfect the body of Christ. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, the only way that I could get my hands around that for a long time was to think, well, there's a perfection there. I'm going to climb the perfection mountain. I don't expect to get to the top. But if I get halfway up or partway up, I'm a lot better off than I am now. And then as I started climbing it, little bit and little bit, I start to understand. Not only is it possible, that's what he wants us to do. Die to self, die to sin, die to pride. Feed on the trees of life. And be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Thank you very much for participating. As I said, part two of this will be next week. I am 100% committed to being alive and remain when Jesus returns. I'm 100% committed to spending as much time with God so you can help me to do it and help me to teach you and show you how to do it. This is exactly what he called me to do, what, almost 30 years ago. And I've been doing it ever since. Until recently, I didn't understand that much about it. But at least we got the schools all built. All the schools I designed so that you can be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Living and Not Dying. 30 videos telling you what the Bible has to say. That you don't have to die. And I should reference Romans chapter 8 again. Several times in Romans 8, it tells you very clearly that if you are living by the flesh, if you're carnal, several times it says it, you will die. This speaking to Christians under the age of grace. It says you will die. Now, since most Christians expect to die physically, it's not a big deal. But you see, since it's in Romans 8, speaking to believers, saying that you will die, it has to be not spiritual death, because we were saved by grace. We were saved by grace. So we don't die by our works. We die by our choices. So if you look at it, you see very clearly that if Christians continue living carnally, they will die. Okay? Spirit man won't die, but the body will die. The body doesn't have to die. God doesn't want you to die. Thanks again. God bless you all. See you next Sunday.
Thank you, Apostle Joshua. Could you hear the fervency in his voice and his actions? We are just so wanting everybody to be raptured with us. This is so important, because it's no laissez-faire attitude, no sit back and let God do whatever. No, that partnership with God means we have to be actively fighting the enemy and pushing our way through to be alive and remain when he returns. It's not going to happen by accident. It is something that we have to be aware of every single waking moment. And the Lord brought something to my attention this morning, which was, you know, one of those little wow moments, which was so cool. Apostle Joshua has been mentioning multiple times, many are called, few are chosen. And all of a sudden, a verse came alive to me that I've been listening to the book of Revelation on tape. And in chapter 17, verse number 14, it talks about those who are alongside Jesus fighting the battle of the ages and winning. And who are they? They are the called. Many are called. They are the chosen. They are the few who are called and chosen and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. And that's what it takes to get there. Yes, many are called. Okay. God wants to call us all. He wants us all to be there. So we're called. Yes, that one. Okay, that's a given. But chosen. We do the choosing. In his heart, God would choose all of us. But the way he set things up, giving us free will, setting up that partnership, that means that we have a part to play. We have decisions to make. That's why in Deuteronomy 30:19, he lays it out like an open book test. Choose life or death. Woohoo! Choose life! He tells you, choose it. You got to choose it. It doesn't just fall from the sky upon us. No, we have to make conscious choices. We have to take conscious actions. Our thoughts, our words, our actions must all line up with the Word of God. And faithful to the Spirit of God, faithful to Jesus, faithful to the word of God. Faithful takes action. It doesn't happen by accident. So, make a note. Called, chosen, and faithful. And your reference again is Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Wow. That's part of what it takes to help us stay alive and remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ until he returns. Wow. Is that exciting? I think so. Excuse me while I just relish in that moment of revelation that the Lord gave me of putting two pieces together and seeing how it plays out in our lives, what our part is. We want to know, how do we get there? Okay, this is another piece of the puzzle, letting us know very specifically what we have to do. We're called, we're chosen, we're faithful. And let's go to him in communion and say, thank you, Lord, for showing us and for teaching us and for partnering with us and leading us through step by step in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. So in preparing our hearts for communion, let's now do a USP. Okay? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for preparing the way. Thank you for giving us all that we need to know, laying it out, showing us what we need to think, say, and do in order to be those who are alive and remain and are raptured. Thank you, Lord. It's all there in your word, with your Holy Spirit in each one of us to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. Lord, we are so grateful. And Abba Daddy, we're so grateful for you sending Jesus. That on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful. You are our Jehovah Rapha. You are the God, our healer. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, every cell of our bodies, every fiber of our being, every organ, every system, every function of our bodies has been healed, restored, rejuvenated, made whole, made well by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus knows the end from the beginning, and he's paid the price for every single kind of challenge that the devil would ever try to put on us. So no matter what it is, and if they come up with another new disease. I remember when COVID-19 came, it's like, where did that come from? Well, we know, it came from the devil. And as the devil knows his time is short, he's just really pushing harder, coming up with more junk. So we need to stand firm and faithful with God and know that we will not accept what the devil is trying to put on us. Jesus paid the price. He wants us to be well and whole and free of all of those challenges. So if those symptoms come on you, you just say with a resounding voice, no, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to accept this. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And that is that. That is absolute. That is the truth. And that's what I receive. And we receive it, and you fight the devil, and you take what is yours. That healing belongs to you. Jesus paid the price. Let's receive it, and let's receive the broken body of Jesus now, and let's take that healing that belongs to us. And don't just say, okay, well, let's see, I've got this and that and something else. Let's see, which one shall I do? No, 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 no. All of them. Jesus paid the price for all of them. Give them all to Jesus. And take healing for every single part of your body, inside and out. So let's partake together now of the broken body of Jesus in that great exchange to receive the healing and wholeness that belongs to each one of us, paid such a dear price from our precious Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake together now. In that same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins," remitted, just as if they never existed. And so if there are no sins, then there can be no wages of sin, no price to pay for something that doesn't exist. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All the wonderful covenants and promises that belong to us, that came because of the blood of Jesus. And the life is in the blood. And we choose to be flooded with the blood of Jesus and saturated with the very life of God. For God lives in Jesus and Jesus lives in us. Wow. So awesome that is. How blessed we are. And Lord God, we give you all praise, honor, and thanksgiving as we partake together of the precious, life-giving, promise-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, everybody ready to do "We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus" 20 times? Ready? Get set. Let's go. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Can you imagine how the devil is just backing down? He's going, "Oh, shut up, shut up. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to hear about what Jesus did." He just cringes. He runs. He hides. And so when we do that over and over and out loud, firmly, he has to back off. He has to back off. It's a promise of the word of God. So be sure and be firm in fighting the devil. You know how to do it. So just do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.